Welcome to Career Tools. This week, part two of driving your goals from those of your boss. A great way to start 2015. Here we go. Okay, so we're back with part two. We were going to start, Wendy, with breaking down your boss's goals. But before we do that, we're going to use a simple example. The example we mentioned at the end of the previous cast, part one, and that was your boss tells you the company had roughly $2 million in sales last year. Next year, he wants it to be $3 million. And that's all he tells you about the goal, his goals, which, by the way, not that unusual for a small company boss. And hopefully this is one of those casts that people in small companies who write and say, you don't have anything for small companies. Well, yeah, most of our stuff works for both big and small companies, but regardless. And when you ask him, okay, what do you want from me relative to contribution on that? He says, well, just keep the website up. And that's because you run IT for this organization, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that in mind, our guidance is break down your boss's goals.
Exactly. And then we're going to break them down into four parts. Which parts fall into your area of responsibility? Which parts you'd like to do? Which pieces you think he wants you to do? And which parts do you think no one else will want? So we're going to start with which parts clearly fall into your area of responsibility. And he's already said to you, keeping the website up is your responsibility. So that's easy. But keeping the website up is not a goal. It's a bit vague. What's the definition of up, right?
And this is a classic case where if you're not willing to commit to a metric. And because the beauty of not having a metric is he can't hold it against you. At the end of the year, you could say, well, I was at 92%. And he said, really, in my head, it was 95. Or he might not say 95. He might just say, 92 is not very good. So I don't consider that up.
Yeah.
And you would say, well, actually, I'm pretty sure among my friends that 92 is actually pretty good. But it doesn't matter. You and your boss didn't agree. And regardless, you didn't have any data. And it really doesn't matter if your boss is not pleased.
Exactly. So we're gonna convert that, keep the website up, into a goal, and we're gonna use the deadline, behavior, quality as our framework for creating the goal. So
DBQ,
the deadline,
okay.
DBQ, yeah. So the deadline would be this.
Sure,
this
part, December 31st.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we always start with these DBQ goals with by. So the first part would be by 31st of December.
Yeah. Now you could also do this quarterly, right? I mean,
yeah,
you could easily say in Q1 it'll be this, Q2 it'll be this, Q3 it'll be this, Q4 it'll be this, and you could make it the same. Or you could say, you know, in Q2 we're going to roll out that new HR software or whatever, probably not for a $2 million company. Maybe we're going to roll out a new ordering system and it may, who knows, we may put something into production that messes things up. So you might say, we're going to be at 91, 95, 95, for instance, each quarter. You could do that as well. Okay.
You could, exactly. And so the next thing you need in DBQ is the B, which is behavior. So I will have ensured that you're going to make sure that the quality standards for keeping the website up are achieved. So now we've got by the 31st of December, I will have ensured that. And then the last part we need is the quality standards. So, and this part is easy for a website uptime. It's like you said, 95%, 91%, 90, 100, 99.9, whatever you want it to be. And you can also have other standards around it. So you could do website performance, how long it takes to load a page, how many problem the tickets or complaints you get from customers, how long it takes you to implement new features.
Right. And I would actually do it a little differently. Rather than ensured that, I would simply say by 31 December, the website will have been up an average of, and up is the behavior. The result you want is up. And the way we're going to measure that is these various things, problem tickets or website performance. Because up means one thing to some people, which is, you know, it's technically people can access it over the web, but if they can access it, but they can't place an order or they can't send an email, maybe your boss would say, you know, that's not appropriate. And you might decide that it's simply ability to take orders. And then, you know, middle of the year, your boss says to you, hey, look, you know, if people aren't able to send emails, that's a problem. Website's down. And you say, no, it's not down. And he says, yeah, it is. They can't send us emails. And now you have a moment where you go, ah, the definition of the boss. Now you might say to yourself, well, that's not very fair. Everybody knows in my business that up means being able to get to the website. Yeah, okay. And now your boss just created a new standard. And now you're obligated to do it. And now you better change this in the middle of the year to include the ability to send an email.
Yeah, and the whole point of these quality standards or these things that you're setting is so that you can have an agreement about what that thing means.
Yep.
Rather than something vague like up, which means one thing to you and one thing to your boss, and you say, I achieved it, and he says you didn't, and you don't get your bonus.
And look, guys, it's entirely possible that you'll put this stuff together, that you think it's reasonable, and your boss will say, yeah, that's fine. And then 6 months into the year, he or she will change their mind. There's no question about it. But an important part of aligning with your boss is A, showing him or her that you're thinking through what is important to the organization so that he or she doesn't have to think about your part of the organization and get down in the weeds with you. And secondly, in order to have the potential either discussion or agreement or disagreement regarding here are the things that are important, here are the things that are not. And finally, so that you can choose how to spend your time. And if somebody says, hey, here are the three things, I want to do these things over here in this part of my business, you could say, okay, but we've got a problem. That's going to affect website availability. There's no question about it. Or somebody says, I want to change the email system. Well, okay, but that's going to affect things.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody says, I really think we ought to do this. And you say, you look at your metrics and you realize all of your metrics will be hammered by the things they're suggesting. And you probably have to say, look, I want to support what you do. Not that a website manager would protect it, a sysadmin or a developer or something would say, oh, I want to support what you do. But unfortunately, the things that are really, really important is website availability and so on. And that gives you the opportunity maybe in the middle of the year to go back to your boss and say, hey, look, I think this is a good idea. Maybe you do or don't. I mean, it's up to you guys running the business. I'm supporting the business. But if we do, there's going to be an impact. And because you know what your measures are, and because you can perceive that this thing that people are asking you to do are going to impact the things that you report on, you can now say to your boss, hey, this is going to hurt. Do you want to do it or not? And when your boss says, look, I'm willing to accept some less availability in order to get this done because I think this is functionality we really need, now you're having a discussion that helps you continue to make decisions. And it reduces the risk that at the end of the year, your boss says, you didn't keep the website up and, you know, it was that functionality we asked for, that was way too hard. And now we're having discussions before things happen, not excuses after things happen. Okay, sorry.
No, it was good. Okay, so the next part is, which parts would you like to do? So in this small business, we only have a few services and the website's quite small, and keeping it running isn't going to use all of your talents full time, clearly. So now you think about what else you would like to do. So you might want to implement better customer tracking or a better checkout process or use A/B testing to increase conversions. Like all the things that we always think, oh, I'd really like to get my hands on that. And this is the part where you get to think about all the fun technology or the fun parts of your job that you really want a bit more of.
But when you say fun and you say which parts would you like to do, really what you're talking about is not which parts of his job would you like to do, but rather outside of those narrow goals, if you believe you have additional bandwidth, there might be some value add that you can add that doesn't fit within the framework that you're given. Exactly.
Yeah, Thank you for rewording it for me.
Yeah, because which parts would you like to do implied that that's part of his goals. And that's not exactly. You're talking about which parts of your job.
Yeah, you don't get to choose which part of your job you
boss.
Do. This is the additional stuff.
Yeah, there are three things I really don't want to do, so I'm not going to do them. Yeah, no, really not.
Yeah, I really don't want to write podcasts anymore. So.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Okay, and then you get to think about the fun things, the things that you would do in addition to your job, but you have to tie them back to results for the company. So, for example, you might want to do customer tracking, and you get to play Google Analytics. Yay! But Google Analytics and the customer tracking gives the salespeople more information about their sales funnel and what they might want to change and so on. And so the company benefits from your playing with this new technology. So that's a win-win. But you can't say, okay, I want to learn Ruby on Rails if there's nothing on your website and it's never going to be necessary, because only you win and the company is therefore paying for your education, which is not fair.
They can choose to learn Ruby on Rails if they want. That's fine. It just can't be part of your job and you can't be doing it during work hours and so on. It could be a great additional project for you. You could do it on nights and weekends. Nothing wrong with that. But it wouldn't be part of how you're going to create your goals for the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Now we talk about what parts do you think he wants you to do?
Yeah, and in the example we've been using, it's pretty obvious because there's only one IT guy and there's one IT system. But what if there's a bunch of you in your team and you all do the same job and the goals are for the whole team? Then it's harder to work out which parts of your job, which parts of the goals you're boss wants you to do. So here's a different example. Say you work in a processing team in an insurance company and there's 10 of you, and your boss tells you the goals are to process every claim within 10 days, to pay out no more than 10% of claims, to create a process and procedures handbook, and to train the 10 new people that are coming on board. Well, the first two goals everybody has to achieve, like keeping the claims down in time in order to finish them in 10 days, you have to do your part of that. And paying out no more than 10% of claims, you have to do your part in that. So that's your, you know, that's easy to see that you have a part in that. But the second two, creating a handbook and onboarding people, you could do, or one of your colleagues could do, or you could do it together. So now you've got to work out which bits of that does my boss actually want me to do, which, you know, sometimes you get a hint that they want you to do that. You know, maybe he says, oh, you're really good at like detail work, so probably that you might have a hand in the handbook. You have to kind of guess that bit from the clues you get and your strengths.
Okay, and then you have to break those down, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
I want to say something here about breaking them down. This is where I've probably had this conversation 500 times in the last 20 years, and people say, well, my boss's goal is this, so it's pretty clear that therefore my boss and my goal in support of that will be this. I say, well, okay, how are you going to measure that? And they say, well, what do you mean? Well, like, okay, you say you want website uptime and you want to achieve 98, 99%. Great. What are you going to do? How are you going to measure it week to week? Well, it's just going to be uptime. Well, okay, well, what's uptime and what is downtime and what causes downtime? And now we start drilling down and we discover that really the single biggest uptime is not getting a sign-off before putting something from development into production, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last year, for instance, when the website was down 4 times for a total of 8 minutes, 3 of those 4 were unauthorized releases into production, which caused something to break. So you could drill down and say, you could actually think that through. And we're recommending you sit down and think about what are the behaviors you engage in? What are the things you do? What are the actions you take that contribute to the goal or not the goal? And then start measuring those. And this is how you break down DBQ goals, break them down into behaviors. And many, many managers that I've talked to struggle with this. They say, well, the goal is the goal. And I'm left up to decide how to do that day to day, week to week. Yeah, you are. You're left up to decide it. And effective managers, effective individuals think through, okay, what are the things that I believe that will make a difference? And they say, well, but the boss doesn't really ask me to manage that. No, but you can't simply hold yourself accountable for a goal and then suggest all throughout the year that your behaviors don't contribute. By definition, your behaviors contribute. If something contributes to something and you have control over that and you clearly have control over your behavior, then you ought to do some thinking about good behaviors and bad behaviors, effective behaviors and or constructive and destructive behaviors, and ask yourself, what are the things that we need to be very careful of and not do? And what other things do we need to make sure to do? And you measure those things. Now, some people would say, oh, gosh, now we're getting into big company and, you know, we're going to have to start measuring everything. Not really. We're recommending you pick 3 or 4 behaviors that you believe are distinctly different. There are thousands of behaviors you engage in every day, but there may be, for a particular goal, two or three or four that make a significant difference. And this taking your boss's goal, turn it into a goal that you contribute to your boss's goal on, and then talking about the actual behaviors, this, what's the deadline, what's the behavior, and what's the quality standard, what's the metric, how are we going to get black and white on this thing, is a core part of what executives do all the time. The CEO says, we need to make $100 million EBITDA next year. Okay, great. And the marketing people say, well, if we're going to do that, we had an $80 million EBITDA last year. If we're going to do that, we need to grow, you know, by 25%. Golly gee, what are we going to do that? We're going to run more marketing campaigns. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. They're thinking through all the things they need to do. And then they're going to ask which ones worked and which ones did it. And they're saying, we're going to do more of this and less of that. We're going to try this one new thing. This is what professionals do. They devolve a higher level goal into the goals and the results, if you will, and the actual behaviors that they engage in. They do not stop just at the result of, I owe my boss 99% uptime. Because 99% uptime is an outcome, but you don't work in outcomes, you work in behaviors. So you have to measure the behaviors. You increase the chances, we're going to say it again, that you could be wrong, that you will choose behavior A, B, and C. You'll do those perfectly, and you'll get 90% uptime. And your boss will say, well, why did you measure those things? Those are wrong. Yep, it's entirely possible. It's unlikely, but it's entirely possible. And it would be easier for you to say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong, so therefore, I won't pick any behaviors. I'll just shoot for 99%. Well, in that scenario, let's say you end up at 90% again. Now you have no defensibility to your boss. Separate from that, you have no way to determine what you should or shouldn't have done, what you could or couldn't have done. You have no diagnostic ability to say, clearly these things that we thought were effective are not, and we learned something. If your goal is 99%, you only achieve 90, and you don't really have any behaviors that you believe make a significant difference and are willing to put them down on paper, you won't know what you did wrong, and you're in danger of repeating it again the next year. So this part of this, driving through the boss's goal to your goal, to the outcome, to the result, and then the behaviors that you believe deliver that result, is a core professional behavior. Wendy, this is one of those things buried in a cast that people just miss. People just miss. Yeah, exactly. Good. Okay, I'm sorry. So I took us on a higher level tangent there. Let's get back down into the weeds.
That's okay. So let's just as an example, even though we're on which parts do you think he wants you to do, which may not be the core parts of your job, just as another example to help everybody get to the DBQ goals, we'll do an example of one of the goals was to process every claim within 10 days. So to have DBQ goals for that, you might have by the end of day each day, log all the new claims on the database accurately. You'll have to decide what accurately means. By 9 a.m. each day, order claims by age. And by 5:30 each day, complete any claim over 7 days. And again, complete will have some quality standards
right,
to it.
Whatever complete means in your organization. Yeah, okay.
Exactly. Sure. If you're getting everything done by 7 days, then you're fine with the whole 10 days and you've actually got a little bit of leeway. And as you were just saying, if you get to like the end of January and your average is at 12 days, there's something in these that's not sufficient. So yep. you can know doing this isn't enough. I need to do something else. And you probably would be, if you know that at the end of January, you can do something different and save yourself by December.
There you go.
If you find out on the 31st of December, your average was 13 days. Well, you're done.
Yeah, you know, I didn't say that. I didn't highlight that enough, but you're absolutely right. When you drill down to actual behaviors, metrics that you're going to believe are proxies or are likely to contribute to the goal that you intend, you get waypoints along the way to say, are we doing this or not? Hey, we had 100% uptime in January, but actually some of our behaviors are pretty weak. I wonder if there's not a cause and effect here. Because all of us every day assume that our behaviors cause the results that we deliver to the organization. Well, you can reduce the level of uncertainty in your assumption by choosing and paying attention and then making decisions about, well, does that contribute or not? At Manager Tools, it might be, does a weekly newsletter that it has content in it with some ads about conferences, for instance, is that more effective than simply an email saying, hey, here are our public conferences for effective manager, effective communications, and effective interviewer? Do we get a difference? Maybe we decide we don't want to just send out advertisements. Maybe we want to do content. And so we start sending out content, but we notice that conference attendance drops. So we go to an advertising-only email. Hey, guys, here are the conferences coming up for this quarter. And all of a sudden, conference attendance goes up. Well, okay. Maybe it's random, but let's not assume the entire world is random. Otherwise, you're a nihilist, and you might as well not be listening to us. And ask yourself, okay, what does that mean? What do I want to do? Maybe I do want to just send out an advertisement. And we track it and we pay attention to it. And it's a proxy. So please, folks, don't choose something you can't track, but you can track behaviors. And there are people who will say, yeah, this is making my job a little, you know, I not only have to do my job, I have to report on my job. And the answer to that is always, yes, you do. And that's the nature of organizations. Organizations the size of 2 or greater require not just work, but the reporting on work.
Yeah. And these things are easy to you just need a tally sheet with dates on, because they're only for you for now in terms of the tracking. You just have a notebook with a tally sheet on it and say, okay, did I or did I not complete all the claims by the end of the day?
Look, if you're an IT guy, we're going back to the IT example. I'll tell you the silliest thing. I know the IT guys will laugh at this, but a bunch of people won't. You got a dashboard that shows certain numbers for your website, right? Maybe you've got a simple application that runs in the background. It's a report that goes through logs and it tells you what your uptime is. Take a picture of your computer screen with your darn phone and text it to your boss, or text it to your boss's admin, or print it from your phone, or do a screen print from your computer. It's not, right?
I mean, yeah.
Not hard at all.
Not hard at all.
Okay, good. Let's do the fourth part. I'm being long-winded as usual. Which parts do you think no one else will want? When I first got this, it took me a minute to do the translation. So explain this.
Okay, so in the goals from this insurance processing team manager, he said, create a process and procedures handbook and train the 10 new people that are coming on board. Those were the two goals that you had that could be done by anybody. And creating a process and procedures manual is like heaven to insurance processing people because they tend to be detail-oriented and logical, and they like, you know, subsection A with like Roman numerals after it, and creating a manual would be wonderful. But training new people is not fun. For a start, they make mistakes, and that's frustrating. So this gives you the chance to shine because you know that everyone else will want to work on the manual, and you can take the training of the new people, which might be harder, but you don't have to be as good at it because there's no competition. So you can, if no one else, including your boss, wants to do it, then you just have to be okay at teaching the new people. And if you're the only one who did it, you get all the kudos for doing that job. So that's my secret. Take the job that nobody else wants, because
nobody else wants it.
And
it
exactly. Your boss, you get gratitude and kudos for doing it.
I will say that, well, first of all, let me say to those of our American listeners, kudos is also pronounced kudos, K-U-D-O-S, just so you know. And in America, it's not frustrating. It's frustrating. But be that as it may, the one thing I have found is that most people are actually pretty good at this step. They actually say, yeah, the thing we really need here is X. And we just haven't done it because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And guys, we feel you. We get that. We understand it. And you go another year and you're like, wow, that was the pile of stuff at the back of my desk that I never got through. The single biggest thing that I think makes a difference in getting those things done is a combination of breaking it down into smaller things, and bringing it to the fore through whatever electronica you use in terms of software, in terms of managing your day and so on. I know that if you start putting time on your calendar for it, you will inevitably not do it because of the tyranny of the urgent over the important. And so I would break it down into very small tasks, like write the first paragraph. Honest to goodness, I literally would put it into write the first paragraph. And the second thing I would encourage you to do is consider using David Allen's Getting Things Done. That's even more work, but it'll benefit you so much in so many other ways that you'll love it. And he talks about, what is the next thing I need to do? David Allen's Getting Things Done is how I wrote my book, because I didn't have time to write the book, but I knew it needed to be done. So I just broke it down into very, very small tasks and wrote a little bit at a time and then ended up with a book. So the things that nobody else will want are probably projects. And if you have a habit of not finishing your projects, we understand you're normal. It's not like everybody else does it well and you do it poorly. And there are some ways to address that. Okay, good. Now we're going to talk about setting our own goals.
Yeah, so now you've got a pretty long list. By the time you've broken down your goals, your boss's goals into the parts that you think belong to you, that stuff that you want to do that's outside of your job, but, you know, it's something exciting, what you think you can do, and then the parts no one wants, that's probably a pretty long list. So now yeah. You need to take a step back. So you just put it in the drawer and you don't look at it, or you leave it on your computer and you just don't look at it for a few days. Just to let it mull over. So then I went to Peter Drucker to do this bit, because Drucker says you can only do one priority at a time. And then I was like, okay, so now we've got all these goals. How can I...
Drucker was saying that only about CEOs.
Yeah. So he said, in managing by objectives there, he says, objectives are needed in every area where performance and performance and results directly and vitally affect survival and prosperity of the business. In other words, you can have a bunch of objectives, but they all support your priority, which is keeping your job, right?
Exactly.
So when you review your list after a few days, you need to keep balancing those things in your mind. So in Q1, you might decide your priority is going to be the website performance, and then you've got several objectives in that area. Maybe you want to boost the security, or you want to boost the maintenance schedule, or something that you think, okay, if I invest in these things as my objectives in Q1, then the website performance or the website uptime will stay high for the rest of the year, and I don't need to do as much on it. And then for Q2, you want to do something else, like, you know, do the customer analytics thing that you wanted to do. And so you have one priority and a bunch of objectives, and then you can keep the other ones kind of not on the forefront, but just in the background. You'll probably still have to do some of them, but then they're not your priority. So whenever you've got spare time, you do the thing that's your priority. So you've looked at it and you've balanced those things in your mind, and then think about what you can realistically achieve, and then take 50% of the things off.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're going to end up with too much, and it's exactly. Okay to have too much. It's not okay to say, I'm going to commit to too much. That's the mistake we make. It's okay to brainstorm and have too much, and then it's smart to go, okay, let's cut back into something reasonable. Cull your I want to get all of this done list into the, you know, what my boss wants me to do, and then you may end up with 3 or 4 or 5 priorities.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So you have to be careful. Under promise and over deliver always. Yep.
Good. And in fact, if it's the first year you're doing this and your boss says all he or she wants is website uptime, okay, maybe what you do is you only pick 2, and you in the first year, what you're going to do is website uptime by quarter, or maybe by month, because there's a monthly report you have to produce anyway. And then there's going to be something else that adds to website functionality for the future, or robustness, or ability to withstand DOS attacks, or something like that. Maybe you only have 2, and you learn how to do this process we're taking you through while nailing your deliverables. And then once you're comfortable with the process, maybe after 6 months, maybe after a year, you can say, okay, now I understand how to do this. Now I understand how to drill through to behaviors and metrics and reporting on all this stuff. And then now, this year, I'm going to amp up the number of things I commit to, because I'm not going to be learning 2 things at once, not only how to deliver metrics, but how to do it each quarter and report on it as well.
Gretchen Rubin says, the days are long, but the years are short. Meaning, in a day, you have time to do a little chunk of something, And if you don't do a little chunk every day by the end of the year, which will you'll be saying, where did this year go?
Yep.
Like everybody does. So this kind of moving everything down to what do I do in a day or what do I do in a week, and thinking, oh, I'm only going to do two priorities in a year. Like, oh, I'm so much better than that. But the end of the year will come so much quicker, because we all say that. And if you've done the daily things in the day you have, when you can do 15 or 20 minutes, you're so much better set up for the next year. And you haven't had a year where you haven't done anything. So.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing you suggested was respond by showing how your goals support your boss's goals.
Yeah. So far we took a look at our boss's goals and then we went and did all this work on our own. And before we get on that road and start going, we want to check in with our boss and make sure that we have worked it out appropriately and that there isn't something. Sometimes a boss knows something about a system or a plan that you don't know, that you're not privy to, and he'll say, look, don't bother with that. I can't tell you why, but just don't bother. Yeah. And then later on you find out that the product's been discontinued or whatever.
Right.
So that's important. So you set up another meeting to discuss your goals. And again, you don't need forever. So for people whose bosses say, not another meeting, you just need 15 or 30 minutes. And you show your boss how you've taken her goals.
Well, I wouldn't say how. I would just say, hey, based on what you told me, here's what I've worked out. You know, when you say how, we don't want to mean, folks, we don't mean you're going to walk them through the process you went through. Don't do that.
No.
Most bosses don't want that. They're going to want the executive summary. So you show them, hey, here are my goals. Here's how I intend to report on this. Okay. Again, don't be surprised as Wendy says, if they say, well, not this or not that. I'll tell you something else that a lot of bosses will do. They will say, gosh, there's a lot here. There's a lot of detail there. You know, if you want to commit to all that, that's fine. Okay. Don't let that get to you. That's your boss saying, I don't need to be this far down in the weeds. It is not your boss saying, this is not what professionals do. Now, there is a small subset of bosses. They're usually high Ds. There's maybe 2 or 3% of them who expect you simply to do whatever it is you do, and they don't want to know. I worked for a boss once who says, I don't want to manage you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to do anything. I just want you to do your job. And then he proceeded to underdefine my job. But sometimes what you'll hear from a boss is, there's a lot of stuff here. It's actually pretty good. I'm glad to see you're working this through. But don't let all this stuff get in the way of being responsive and addressing those things that I tell you to address. That's the perception of, if you're a high C, if you're a perfectionist, if you're a detail person, and you love this process, it's going to be hard the first couple of times, but it'll get easier. And then you give this to a high D boss, a take no prisoners, move forward, let's go fast, let's attack. You know, don't tell me about the details, just tell me what I need to get done and I'll get it done kind of person. They're going to say, hey, as long as this doesn't keep you from working for me every day, don't define your job so specifically that I don't get the ability to turn corners quickly in the future. And you'll have to be willing to say, no, this is how I intend to manage things. And everything I know suggests every day there'll be changes. That's fine. And I'm supposed to respond to the changes. And this is the plan I have for how I'm going to get to the big things you asked me to do.
Exactly.
Good. All right. Wrap us up.
Okay. So first of all, we schedule time with our boss to talk about their goals. We find out what our boss's goals are. We break them down into which parts fall in your area of responsibility, which parts you would like to do, which parts you think he wants you to do, and which parts you think no one else will want. And once you've got all those broken down, you can set your goals. You can decide from the list what you want to do. And then you can have another meeting and show your boss how your goals support his.
And then it's time to start actually achieving them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, we have hundreds of podcasts on that.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, great. Two-parter. Thanks, Wendy.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. That's it for Deriving Your Goals from Those of Your Boss. Hope it was useful to you. See you next week on Career Tools.